Yeah, my 20s, first of all, I wasn't confident at all. So, like, pre-20s, my teenage years were pretty much like a mess. And I wasn't confident at all. And then I started.
Salut, ihr Podcast-Pennies, und herzlich willkommen zu einer Premiere, denn dies ist die erste Podcast-Folge en inglés. Ich wurde auf Englisch interviewt, und zwar von der Olivia für ihren super coolen Podcast, der sich da nennt Quarter Life Living, also nicht Quarter Life Crisis, sondern Living. Und in ihrem Podcast beschäftigt sie sich eben mit Menschen, Frauen in ihren 20ern. Und darum ging es auch in unserem Gespräch. Ich habe ein bisschen darüber geredet, wir haben philosophiert, was denn so die ersten Schritte sind in deinen 20ern, um ja den Finanzkram so ein bisschen zumindest auf die Kette zu bekommen. Und auch ein schönes Thema, YOLO versus Long Term. Was würde ich Menschen, Frauen, Mädchen, Jungen, wem auch immer in ihren 20ern raten? Ihr würdet jetzt wahrscheinlich denken, dass ich allen rate, so viel Geld wie möglich zu sparen, aber das ist es nicht. Lasst euch überraschen. Viel Spaß. Ich hoffe, ihr könnt mein Englisch verstehen. Und ja, schaut auf jeden Fall mal bei Olivia rein, Quarter Life Living Podcast. Ach so, bevor es losgeht, noch eine super wichtige aktuelle Info. Bis zum Weltfrauentag am 8.3. könnt ihr und nur bis dann den Madame Moneypenny YouTube-Beutel und oder Turnbeutel erwerben. Warum solltet ihr das tun? Erstens, weil ein Zitat von Cher draufsteht. Und zweitens, weil ich alle Einnahmen spende an den Bundesverband Alleinerziehender Mütter und Väter in Berlin. Warum? Weil Alleinerziehende systematisch benachteiligt werden und das absolut zum Kotzen ist und ich und wir alle helfen wollen. Alle Infos zu der Aktion findet ihr auf Instagram, Facebook und sowieso überall. Link zum Beutel in den Shownotes. Also bestellt wie bescheuert nur bis zum 8.3. Danach ist der Spuk wieder vorbei und tut Gutes damit. Unterstützt die Alleinerziehenden. Wir alle gemeinsam. Many thanks.
Natasha, I'm so incredibly excited and honored to have you on the Quarter Life Living podcast. We actually met at the Wienerin Gründerinnentag, which is a day here in Vienna, basically for founders to get together. And I asked you to come onto the podcast because I've been following your journey and been inspired by your books and podcasts and everything you share with the world on finances, especially for women. So I'm very honored to have you on. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm going to get right in because I already gave my listeners an introduction. Natasha, I would like to know, how do you define success for yourself?
Oh, wow. That's a big question right in the beginning. I'm not even really awake. How do I define success? Well, I think success is pretty individual. So, you know, some people link it directly to financial success or to career success or success in relationships, whatever that might be. I think it's pretty much, you know, being able to live on your own terms. I think that's success for me. And that's what I'm, yeah, working on to achieve, to live my life the way I wanted to. And I think when you achieve that, then you're pretty much happy. And that's probably the best success you can ever have.
Great answer for not being awake just yet. Now, my question is, what were your 20s like? Because I know you started your business in your mid-20s and you seem like an incredibly confident woman. You've achieved a lot in your life now and you're above 30 now. But what were your 20s like? What did they teach you?
Yeah, my 20s, first of all, I wasn't confident at all. So like pre-20s, my teenage years were pretty much like a mess and I wasn't confident at all. And then I started studying. I did my bachelor's degree and I also went to Cape Town for one semester. So that was quite a journey, like literally. And that was a really, really good time. And that was also kind of wild. Like I've always been a quite disciplined person, never really fell out of scope or did anything like wild and crazy, and you know, most people do that in their teens or even in their 20s. I didn't miss that for some reason. And yeah, then I studied, and I did my master's degree as well. While then, I also started working at Google in Hamburg. Then I worked at Parship, which is an online dating site. I think it's in Austria as well. And yeah, then I started my own company when I was about 25, 26-ish. And yeah, that was pretty exciting. I wasn't ready at all for nothing, but I still did it for, you know, just, I'm 25, what can happen? But that had nothing to do with the confidence. I think it was just being brave, not accepting the status quo that I was in. I didn't like working for other people, so I decided to start my own business, which is WG Suche, which is an online portal for shared flats and finding roommates. And I'm still doing that as well. And I started Madame Moneypenny actually also when I was like 29, I think.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so that was still kind of in my 20s, actually, yeah.
In your 20s, yeah. And you did like a lot of different things. So do you think it was important for you to try out like a lot of different things? Because I think a lot of people in their 20s think they should know what they want to do or have it all figured out. Do you think that was necessary?
Definitely. It's, you know, I hate that there's so much pressure on that generation, like being in your 20s, even in your 30s, like, what the hell? I don't know what I'm doing. In the 20s, it's so normal to not know what you're doing and why and what you want to do. And I hate the system that tells you, okay, you're 18 now, you're done with school. So what do you want to do for the rest of your freaking life? So what do you want to study now for 7 years and then decide, oh, well, dentist, maybe that's not my thing now that I'm actually practicing it. So yeah, try out stuff in your 20s. I mean, that's what they're for. You don't have any obligations. You have no family. You shouldn't have any like financial restrictions in your 20s. 30s are different. You know, 30s is then like, let's say mid-30s, when you're thinking about raising a family and stuff, then those risky time where you can take risk and not have to pay for it really, those are over then. So in your 20s, I would encourage everybody to try out stuff. I mean, study different things. Try out 2 semesters history, try out 2 semesters biology, I don't know. And just see what's the best for you, where you have your passion, where you can imagine yourself. Maybe then, yeah, maybe it is then for the rest of your life, but maybe it's not. And that's just so fine. I mean, I know lots of like 55 years old who have not figured out their life, and they're putting pressure on everybody else or on their kids or whatever to figure out their life at 23.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm turning 34 in some weeks, and like seriously, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm still trying out stuff. I don't know if Madame Moneypenny survives the next 3, 4, 5, 10 years. I will do my best to do so, but maybe it doesn't work out. So then I have to shift over again. And I think it's the best thing you can do is getting used to that idea that you need to shift all the time if you want to try out new stuff. I mean, there's lots of people out there who are also like, well, you know, I just want to have one job for the next 40 years and I'm happy. And that's fine too. If you find that, jackpot. But if you're not quite there, which is totally normal, then try out new stuff as much as you stay with your parents so they pay for your rent. Go shopping in their fridge and try out new stuff. And the only thing that can hold you back for trying out new stuff is financial constraints. If you have to pay for rent, then you have to do the shitty job that pays you well. So get yourself in a good position to being able to try out new stuff.
Right. And that leads me on to the main topic that we're going to talk about is how you can kind of set up for financial success as well in your 20s. So tell me and all of the listeners who might not know you as well as I do, how did you get into talking and teaching about money and investing, Natasha?
Yeah, that was actually also in my 20s when I started my first company. Then I decided not to yeah, not to participate in the state, what's it called, governmental pension system, whatever, because I had heard that it's, you know, not a good deal, which it is in Germany. It's not a good deal. Therefore, I then signed some funny contracts with financial advisors. And those contracts were pretty good deals for them, but not so really for me. And I ended up with an kind of complicated insurance stuff. And I didn't know that. And I didn't know it for 3 years. So I, you know, paid. And I didn't know for what exactly. And I found out that it was pretty shitty deal. And yeah, that was a moment when I was like, yeah, you know, you're almost 30 now. So maybe you should get your financial shit together as well. And then I started reading about it and started blogging about it. That was the beginning of me trying to get on top of financial stuff as well. Started blogging about it, and then people jumped on, and I thought, well, you know, that's a topic. People are reading my stuff.
And now you've built an empire.
Now I've built an empire around that. Yeah.
Still, Madame going strong. Yeah. It's become a huge movement, and you just touched on a point which I was just going to ask about, because I think a lot of us in our 20s, or I'm also 27, getting towards the end of my 20s, and basically need to figure out my financial shit. What's the first step you would recommend to anyone who's kind of like, all right, I want to get my financial shit together?
What's the first step? Yeah. So, I mean, assuming that you don't have a lot of costs in your 20s, because ideally you still live with your parents, so they pay for your shit. If you don't, if you have, you know, certain costs like rent and stuff, then your first step, or actually no matter what, your first step should be writing down your expenses. Like, what am I spending my money on? And why? And do I want that actually? Just this exercise of writing that down makes it visible. Like sometimes, or actually a lot of times, you know, we have a feeling of how much money we spend and it's not that much. And then once you write it down, you see, oh, well, that is maybe quite a lot of money I'm spending here on beer or the movies or whatever. And that's a good first step to, you know, get on top of things and get transparency into your expenses. And also on the income side, like, how much money do I actually earn? How much do I get every month? And then, you know, putting those two things together and seeing, well, am I on the positive side or more on the negative side? And also that, and then you can challenge yourself, right? You can then see, okay, you know, do I want to spend that much money on beer and partying, or should that go into my let's call it financial freedom account or fund or savings? Which brings me to the next step. Like in your 20s, it's just a perfect time to set a basis for your investments, because the earlier you start, the better it is. So what I'm talking about there is actually like saving your money, which, you know, you can do by, as I said, you know, what's my status quo, and how much do I actually spend and how much do I keep? And then maximizing that, like maximizing your savings and investing your money, your savings, not all of it, but, you know, a good chunk, so that it actually multiplies and increases instead of decreases over the time. And when you lay that foundation in your 20s, when you manage to invest your money smartly in your 20s, that's a huge deal. That's a huge deal, because then you're ahead of so many people by like 10, 20 years. And it's so much easier to actually become, yeah, quite wealthy in the end.
So a question that came from my followers, and you kind of touched on it as well, is obviously you just said you should invest, you should also spend and kind of try out things. So you have these two different sides, like YOLO, let's travel the world and make the most out of our 20s, versus long-term safety. So how do you go about that?
I think you need to find a balance. Like everywhere in life, balance is the key. So, but I think it's just a math. It's just math. I mean, you say, well, I've 100 euros I can save. Let's put 50 into YOLO and let's put 50 into investment. What's your priorities right now? And I'm totally for, you know, doing a thing. But at the same time, maybe just put 25 euros away and just save and invest them. And that's, I mean, you can have both. I think you can have both. I mean, and actually that's all, there's actually a third dimension you should do. You should try out new stuff. You should invest probably then in the stock market because that's the easiest, let's say, place to be. And third, you should invest in yourself. So in your knowledge, in your network and stuff. That's mostly probably more time than money, but still also money when you need to buy books or seminars or online courses or whatever. So yeah, you need to balance out these three things. And of course, you know, you can say, well, now I'm 21 and I want to travel the world. So let's do that. And I get a job after that and then start saving even more. So, but I think it's not, you know, before people think like, oh, it's so complicated. Like, how should I do that? Then I won't do it at all. Then just take 25 euros. Take 25 euros and put it into a mutual fund. And then that's it. Then go do your thing. It's, you know, 25 euros per month is better than nothing. So instead of making it too complicated, just take 25.
Do you have like a system? How much money would you recommend saving, like based on your income?
Of course, always different versions, but literature says about 10%. So about 10% of your income should go towards your, let's call it financial freedom savings account. There's also a good system. It's called the six account system or something. In German, it's Sechskontenmodell. So it's about having six imaginary buckets or accounts where you split your income. I don't have the numbers right now by heart, but you can just Google it and it tells you the exact ratio you can have for fun, you can have for your saving, you can have for, you know, investing in yourself. I think that's quite a good method because, you know, somebody has set it up for you and you can just follow it.
And of those savings, you should invest. What should you invest in, and especially where should you invest if you don't have a lot of money? Because a lot of people say they don't invest because I don't have a lot of money.
So when we talk about savings, it's also quite important to have one more distinction. There are savings, there's money that you just save and it just sits there in your bank account, which is fine. If you need it within the next, let's say, 10 years. So if you say, you know, I want to travel the world and I want to save money for that, that just sits totally boringly in your bank account because that should not be at risk at all at any time. So if you have like saving goals, which would be, as I said, anything that you need in the next 10 years for sure, then you just put it in your bank account and everything else will say, you know, that can go towards my financial freedom, towards my pension in like 30, 40 years, whenever, or 20 years, and depending on how eager you are and how much money you can save and spend. And then, so with this ratio saying, okay, that's long-term investments, like everything beyond 10 years, that's long-term investment. Yeah, then you should get financially literate in everything that has to do with stock markets and mutual funds. So what I do, I invest only in ETFs, which are exchange-traded funds. You can actually start with 25 euros a month. And it's a big misunderstanding that people think, oh, I need to be rich to invest my money in the stock market. It's actually the other way around. You become rich by investing your money in the stock market if you follow some rules. And that's kind of a disclaimer. I just said ETFs, and I know that some people will now go and just Google ETFs and grab one, and that's your financial death. So just don't do that. So don't just Google what I said and, you know, grab one. There's a lot more work to do before that, really. You need to analyze your financial situation. You need to, you know, analyze your risk adversity. That's a big, big step. And you need a strategy, and it's just not just Google ETF and grab one. That's really dangerous for you and also for me, because I'm invested and I don't want those Google people to ruin my stocks when it all goes down. So yeah, invest some time, read some books about it. There's really good books on that kind of stuff. Let's take it slow.
Investing actual time to becoming financially literate and just taking things into your own hands, probably the best investment you can make upfront.
Definitely, definitely. And I mean, in your 20s, you have time. I mean, it doesn't feel like it now, but actually in your 20s, you do have quite a lot of time when you think about it. So yeah, go read a book. Go read a book about it. Go read two or three books, maybe with different opinions. And yeah, get financially literate. I think that's the most important thing. You know, learn how money works, how it flows, how you spend money wisely, how you invest money wisely. When you crack that in your 20s, you're so gonna win financially. It's incredible. I wish I had started when I was 20 or 25-ish or something, but I didn't. So I'm really jealous. That's why I'm trying to encourage the young people to do it now.
Yeah, hopefully there's someone listening who's in their early 20s and can start in place of you. You've mentioned before that our generation can't really rely on the pension system. I mean, I have listeners from all over the world, so it depends on where you're from as well. But can you talk to us just very briefly about why we shouldn't really rely on a pension system itself?
Yeah, so the governmental pension system, as it is in Germany, you know, it relies on people paying into that system. And then people getting money out of the system when you're old. So right now, the younger generation pays for the older generation. So I'm pretty much paying for my parents right now to be able to retire. So the problem is that we have something called the demographical change, if that's the correct translation. But what it means is that people are getting older and older, and we have a lot more older people than we had like when the system was actually set up. So now you have less younger people having to pay for more older people. And that's not good because that means that either the younger people have to pay a lot more money into that system, or the elderly people won't have so much pension. It doesn't work the way it is right now, the way it was set up some years ago, where it actually did work. I think when it was set into place, you had, I think, three or four young people paying for one old person. And now it's, I think, 1.5 young person paying for one old person. So we're seeing this huge shift. That's a big problem in the whole demographics. And in Germany, they are actually debating, like right now, you can go into retirement when you're 67. And they're actually debating putting this up to 69. So that's two more years of working. The system has to change somehow, but radically. Like 2 years, what the hell? What's that going to change? So I encourage everybody to not rely on that system. I mean, if the politicians work that out, that's fine. I'll take it. I'll take the money. But I won't rely on it. It has to change and probably will change over the next like 20, 30 years. But I'm not going to rely on that. And the only way you can then have a good retirement is to build your own. And that can be by stock market, also real estate. You know, there's lots of different options. But usually in your 20s, you don't have the pocket money to buy to buy an apartment or a whole house. So that's why I'm keen on stock market and funds.
You also talk a lot about why it's especially important for women. Can you just briefly touch on why it's so important for women to kind of take care of their finances, and especially for pension as well and stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we touched on pension, and what gives you a pension in the end is your working hours you put in. So the more you work, the more money you earn, the more money you pay into this pension system. And the less you pay into that, the less you'll get out in the end. And women earn less money just because they're women.
Just because they stay at home, right?
This as well, yeah. So we have the stay-at-home moms, let's call them like that. We have the moms that do work, but part-time. And then we have the women who just work, but still earn less money just because they're women. And I mean, so we have the gender pay gap. In Germany, it's 21% gender pay gap all across all women compared with all working men. But we have also 6% gender pay gap in the exact same positions. So the 21% is also, you know, because women tend to work in less well-paid jobs. Let's put it like that. Like nurses and all the social jobs as well, like kindergarten and stuff. But the 6%, that is in the exact same job, same position, same responsibility, and still we're getting paid 6% less. Just because we're women. So we're earning less. So that means we get even less than men, and less means about 25% less. That's a big chunk.
Yeah, I was mind blown when I first read that, like on your channel. It's the fact that obviously in your 20s, you don't really think that much about pension and the fact that maybe taking some time out of your job to stay at home with kids could have actually very long-term effects on what kind of a life you're going to be living, especially women in your group who are kind of separating from their partners and who are financially dependent on them and stuff. But before we go too far down this road, because we're already chatting for quite a bit, do you have any favorite apps, tools for automating saving and investing, and your favorite books you recommend to our listeners?
Tools for automating my investments, savings. Actually, I don't. I don't have tools. Now that I think about it, I mean, I have my bank account and I have an app for my bank. And the automation is actually within that, because all I do is I'm telling my bank, like my broker, which is then my bank, take, let's say, 100 euros per month and put them into those three ETFs. That all it needs, pretty much. So yeah, I don't have any other tools for that. But I mean, what there is some kind of budgeting apps where you can put in your expenses. Most of them are for free. You know, just go in the App Store and see what looks fine and try it out. And books, couple that are also available in English. Like one is Prince Charming Isn't Coming. It's by Barbara Stanley, I think. That's a good book for, you know, slipping into that whole financial stuff. Then there's also Worth It by Amanda something. 4-Hour Work Week, of course, by Tim Ferriss. Maybe another one that's kind of an underdog. It's by MC DeMarco. The Millionaire Fast Lane. That's on also entrepreneurial stuff.
We've talked about so much, and thank you for sharing everything. At the end of my episodes, I like to ask my guests, if you could go back to 20-year-old Natasha, who is sitting in a Chinese restaurant and gets a fortune cookie, what would be the one or two pieces of advice you'd tell yourself, not necessarily related to money?
I think it's just so important to not care about other people's opinions. And I think especially in your 20s, when you have no clue who you are and what you want to do and why the hell you're actually here, it's so important to get opinions from different people, but also learn to filter them. And just because your mom says you need to do this and that doesn't mean that that's you. And you probably don't know what's you right now, but you have enough time to figure it out. Figure it out, take your time, no pressure. But also on the same side, like, don't really give a shit about other people's opinions, like how they lived their life or they regret not living their life. They will put it all on you, especially your parents. So, try to make yourself free from those other opinions and just take off the pressure. If you can do your 20s without that much pressure, without pressure from your parents, pressure from your other people, I think that's a huge win.
Yeah, I need that advice now. It's more so pressure from myself, actually.
Yeah, also a good point. But then again, where is that coming from, you know? I mean, that is because people are telling you, you know, please figure out your life now.
Yeah. But it's so I love the fact that you actually said, I don't have everything figured out, although from the outside, you know, everything looks completely figured out. Is there anything you would maybe have done differently in your 20s?
I don't think so, because then what? You know, if I had done things differently, like where would I be today? I don't know. Like maybe if I studied something differently, maybe if I had started working somewhere else, maybe if I didn't do the internships, maybe if I didn't go abroad. Sure, yeah, my life would definitely be different right now, and I wouldn't want that. So, no, I wouldn't really do anything that much differently. It all worked out, and it will work out, and that's how it should be, I think.
Where can people find you, or do you have anything to share with the audience where they can get in touch with you, follow your journey, and obviously learn more about getting their financial shit together?
Whenever you Google me, everything pops up. So feel free to follow me on Instagram, Facebook. Also, I have like a WhatsApp channel where I post audio files with some kick-ass Monday motivation. You can, of course, listen to my podcast. Well, it's all in German. But podcast, Instagram, Facebook, on Amazon, you find my book. You find all my blog posts on madamoneypenny.de. And yeah, from there, you'll get soaked into that whole topic.
Perfect. Natasha, thank you so much. It's been an absolute joy to have you on the Quarter Life Living podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Danke, dass du diese Podcast-Folge angehört hast. Wenn du noch mehr Tipps, Tricks und Inspiration möchtest, folge mir doch einfach auf Instagram und auf Facebook. Dort gibt es übrigens auch regelmäßige Live-Events mit mir. Und außerdem in der Madame Moneypenny Facebook-Gruppe, in der nur Frauen zugelassen sind, kannst du all deine Fragen loswerden. Also, folg mir gerne auf Instagram und auf Facebook und komm unbedingt in die Ladies Only Madame Moneypenny Facebook-Gruppe. Wir sehen uns dort. Ich freue mich auf dich. Wow.